Never in my life has this song sounded so good.
Yeah. Yep, I get it. Hi, guys. It's Bill, and it's Wendy, and it's Friday, and welcome aboard. You know what's funny is, first of all, John Williams did a great job, as he always does. He's usually on in the afternoons, but he was on in the morning. What's funny is that when you come into a situation where you're used to hearing somebody on a certain day part, and then all of a sudden they're switched, it throws your clock off. Like when I got in the car and I turned on the radio, and it was John's voice instead of Steve's voice, I went, I'm really late.
Yeah.
Did you turn around and go home?
No. No. I go, I'm going to go in, but I'm going to say there was crazy traffic.
Hokey smokes.
Yes.
I can't stop saying that now.
That's John's phrase that pays. John says that, and he means it.
I know, and it's taken over the world, unlike say the world.
Please don't fight me.
For those of you who don't know, Steve has a phrase that he insists was a phrase at some point, even though the internet refuses to acknowledge that.
I thought it was common for people to say, I'll say the world, when they really agreed with something. And then when I found out they didn't, I just think it should take off.
Right, right.
Like, it makes no sense.
I'll say the world. See how it works?
Can I just
ask?
What
does that mean?
Yeah, where did you think you heard that? Like, was it an old great-grandfather? Or who do you think said that ever to you?
I don't know. I just thought it was, it just kind of maybe just came out of me, and I just thought it was something, you know, like, I'll say, that people say that, and, you know, I'll say, I don't know, I'll
I
say the world.
I thought you meant, I'll save the world.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's what you were saying.
It's a branding issue I'm having to deal with.
Okay, Steve, go for it.
But neither of them are mentioned anywhere on the internet for some weird reason.
I gave it a Google search, and turned out I came up with something creative.
Well, you came up with something.
But I have a T-shirt that my son Noah made for me. It says, I'll save the world, which is really cool.
Is there a comma in it?
But people think it says, I'll save the world, and it's just not a very good look.
It'll take off, Steve.
What does it mean?
No one knows.
See, Steve,
no one knows.
We're all like, what?
It's just like an affirmation, Steve. So if you were to say, you know, this is a beautiful day, you might respond by saying, I'll save the world.
As if to say, I agree with you.
Right.
But on a grander scale.
Friday's the best day of the week. I'll say the world.
You could have just put anything after I'll say, like, I'll say my butt. I mean, it could be anything.
Well, that wouldn't work.
That could never work.
I'll say Wendy's butt. No.
And you know, that's so old school anyway. Like you said, well, people said, I'll say. I don't think I've ever used that.
Well, but back in, like, when you watch
little
movies
rascals.
From the 40s, you know how people would start out sentences in the 40s? They'd go, say. And then they would say something. Why were they saying say? There's no reason for that.
My husband says that all day long.
He does?
If something weird happens, he'll go, say. He does it all the time. Well,
is he in black and white?
He just watches MeTV all day. It's like, say.
That was the thing, though. Back then, people just said that and no one ever questioned it.
The 50s, yeah.
Yeah.
They always said it.
How about when people, like, did you ever have a great uncle who would say this, and how?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
See?
And how?
You're proving my point.
And how.
What is that?
And how the world. Let's market that.
That's a good one.
A friend of my dad's, anytime you'd see him, he'd always ask you, what do you know?
Yeah. Like, or what do you say?
Some sort of interrogation situation. What do you know, Billy?
What do you know?
Everything?
Well, you better think of something fast.
I know.
Say, I have an idea.
Right. It's very peculiar.
Well, I hope it works for you, Bertrand.
It's going to work.
Thank you.
Know it will, Steve. At
it's
some
gonna
point,
take off.
It's going to be big.
Didn't even finish it. You've bailed on your own saying.
Well, there's a haiku version, too.
Wendy, you had another incident. In the past, we've established that you are
neighborhood watch.
A human neighborhood watch program all onto yourself, and you had another episode today.
Yes, but I want you to know that I edited myself, which I don't think ever happens.
Why would you do that?
I was coming to work, and there was a woman walking her dog, and I saw the dog squatting, and then the dog usually kicks its feet, which implies that it just, you know...
Get ready to rumble.
No, because it went to the bathroom.
Well, I was being I was being better for it. Right.
And she did not pick it up.
Oh.
And I rolled my window down.
Are you kidding
now,
me?
Now, wait a minute. I rolled my window, because it was right in front of a school. Kids walk on the grass.
Right.
So I rolled my window down, and I was about ready to go, hey! And then I thought, you know what? This has happened to me on occasion. Sometimes Jimmy Mac forgets to refill the bag compartment.
Yeah.
So then you go home and get a bag and come back. So
you've done that, though? Good for you if you've done that.
100%.
Because I have a feeling not everyone does.
Okay, well then they're terrible human beings.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And then I started thinking in the old days when you'd walk your dog, no one picked it up.
Nobody picked it up.
Right.
And now it's just become such a rule that I'm just hoping, and maybe you're a listener, I hope you've gone back to get a bag.
So you rolled the window down and then rolled it back up?
Yeah, I actually edited myself. Because here's why. I am so sick of everybody getting in everybody else's business.
But
and
isn't
I
that an instance where you should,
but
though?
But aren't you the protector of your community?
Yes,
block?
You are.
Well, I was a town over, so you're I wasn't that conscientious.
You're the Buford Pusser of the western suburbs.
What? I'll say the world.
The guy from Walking Tall. Who made sure his community was a nice one.
You should have opened the window and said, say.
Right.
I edited myself because really, it's not my business.
I don't think that's an offense that warrants a verbal assault from a passing car.
Did you look at the person and assess them and say, that's the type of person who looks like somebody who would go home, get the proper materials, and come back? Did you do that?
She did look like that type, but when that happens to me, if I've run out of bags and a car's going by, I give a very animated whoops, like, I'll be back.
To no one in particular,
no,
just
there was
in general?
Nothing.
Is it whoops or poops? Which one do you do?
It's both, but I kind of make it look like I'm scattered,
right,
which isn't tough for me, trust me.
Right.
But I make it look like, oh, like, you know, I could have had a V8, I could have had a poop bag.
Yes.
So she didn't do any of that. She didn't even, like, look down at what happened. She just walked away. So I'm just hoping she went back to get a bag.
I could see you doing it in all four directions, like, doing to the east and then turning to the west. And
right.
Making
each
sure.
Each one more animated than the last.
Right.
I just didn't, you know.
Are you going to, I know this
I'm going to check when I drive
that's
home.
What I was going to ask. Will you make a return visit to see if
I think I have a bag in my pocket, so.
And could you identify this person in a lineup if you needed to?
Only if she had her big winter coat and hat on.
That's the key.
Because I don't know what she looks like underneath it.
Oh.
But just pick up your stuff, and if you run out of bags, go back and get it.
Right. Solid advice. Very solid advice. Let's do this. A quick break and then more discussion. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy and WGN.
All right, I was coming to work. I saw a lady walking her dog, and people are saying, you know, sometimes dogs kick their heels even after they go number one. I saw this dog in the position, so I know.
Assume the position.
I know it went number two.
Oh.
And this woman just walked away without picking it up. And
what a bad person she is, Wendy.
Maybe she ran out of bags. And someone says, you know, I've been without doggy bags before. I've used leaves, candy bar wrappers.
Yeah.
Sometimes I dumpster dive for something, but I've always picked it up.
Well, that's to be applauded, I guess.
Now, would you dump your bag in someone else's garbage can down the street if you were walking by?
I don't do that. Jimmy Mack does do that.
I think that's an offense.
I do, too.
Wait, all right.
There's a dumpster, literally, as he's walking back, and frequently he will put it in there.
Yeah, why can't you can do that?
In like
you?
A commercial dumpster?
Yeah.
Well, that's better than I've seen people do it with their, put it in people's garbage that are out on the curb. You know, you put it
quite
in
quite honestly, there. What is the big deal?
Because it is garbage. Right.
Yeah, so. I mean, if you saw like an empty beer can and you were walking by, wouldn't you pick it up and put it in someone's garbage can?
Yeah, but that doesn't have the lingering offense
That's true.
Bill raised an interesting point off the air. You said you don't know what it is about pet people, but
I'm not a pet person. For people who are tuning in for the first time, I don't get it. But anytime anyone has a conversation about their dogs or cats or whatever kind of pet you have, everything about the animal going to the bathroom is part of the conversation, and I don't get it. I wouldn't do that if I had an uncle visiting me and he was staying for a year. I wouldn't tell people how often he goes to the bathroom. But with pets, it's like, yeah, we better discuss how often the dog goes to the bathroom. I don't understand that.
Well, we don't really discuss it, but when I come home, I say, hey, has Kona been out? Yeah, he had a great... I guess we do say
when
that.
When Steve Dale comes by once a month, isn't that a constant source of conversation between you guys? Is your dog and how often and what happens when he goes to... It is every time, believe me.
No, Kona had some digestive issues when I first got him, and I had to switch so many types of food. So, yeah, it happened. I wanted him to be regular.
Yeah.
But since then, since we switched to non-chicken formula food, I don't think I've discussed poop with Steve Dale.
Every time, believe me.
Well, the dog can't discuss it, so you have to discuss it with somebody.
And, Mary, we did it with babies, too. I just remember.
Oh, for sure. Especially with babysitters, you know, you had to find out
did
what
they
the
go?
Schedule was. Yeah, it's
what kind of dad are you, Bill?
In that context, I can understand it if there's a babysitter, but it's just whenever people are talking about their pets, the pet's bathroom habits are part of the conversation, and I always go, why would that be part of the conversation? Isn't there a million better things to talk about than how often your dog goes to the bathroom?
You can't talk about their careers. I mean, what else is there?
You can talk about their hand in poker and how they did.
I guess.
Well, what is it? If it doesn't, what do you care?
Because I'm there. If I was home and I didn't have to hear it, I'd be fine. But if I'm in the room, I'm like, oh, God, do I really want to hear how often this guy's dog goes to the bathroom?
All right, here's another listener named Wendy. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
How are you? I'm a LaGrange resident, too, and I just want to say that there's been occasions when I have run out of bags. I have two little dogs, and I've actually taken a picture of the area with, like, a tree anchor so I can come back and find it because they're little dogs and they poop little midgies, you know, like little Tootsie Rolls. It's hard to find.
That is a good woman.
That's a good example, Bill, of what you're talking about.
That's exactly it, yes.
Thank you, Wendy. Do you talk about your dog's bathroom habits frequently?
Not only if they're having trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling. We'll see you around LaGrange. Rich wants to talk as well. I can't hang up on this phone. Interesting. There we go. Rich wanted to add a comment as well. Hi, Rich. Poop talk.
Hi. Yeah. Wendy, God. I totally agree with you because the town I live in, the law actually states you have to pick up if your dog for health reasons. But what blows my mind and how inconsiderate some of these people are, one day I came home from work and I'm in the driveway. Here's some guy, his dog's pooping on my lawn. It doesn't have a leash, which is also a violation of another law. And then he walks away and he's walking away. I go, hey, thanks for picking it up. And he looks at me like I'm a crazy person. In case you think I'm somebody who hates dogs, no, because I have my own dog. And that's another reason why I don't want other dogs' droppings on my lawn.
Exactly.
That's an easy way to transmit diseases from your sick dog to my dog.
Do you know where that guy lives?
No, I don't, because proof of that is all of his car tires still have air in it.
All right. Because I would follow that guy home and even the score.
You yourself or with your dog?
No, me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Vigilante.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Rich. Hopefully people have learned something and will pick up after their dogs. If you run out of bags, take a picture, like listener Wendy said, and you can identify it and find it later. I have sometimes picked up other people's dog stuff, too. If they do it on our lawn, I'm not just going to leave it there.
Right.
Can we go back and play The Cure and start this over?
Please.
Oh, whatever. How about we freshen things up a little bit? Who wants to go see KC and the Sunshine Band?
Oh, they're thrilled, by the way.
KC and the Sunshine Band,
yeah. Yay.
You know, they're getting older. I'm sure they talk about it a lot, too. Have you gone yet? How many times this week?
Part of their set.
All right. They are going to perform live in action Saturday, December 28th. The holidays will be over. You can relax and have some enjoyable rocking times or disco times. It's at the Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds, New Buffalo. You can get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com and get ready to get down tonight. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. We have a pair to give away right now. What number caller?
Well, in honor of the subject, Wendy, caller 2.
That's all you ever talk about. Caller number 2, 312-981-7200.
Any other number would be a disservice.
312-981-7200. We need caller number 2 to go see KC and the Sunshine Band.
They're running to the phone.
You'd be surprised how many people are calling
people
right
love
now.
Them. Right. Is Gino Vannelli in town anytime soon, Wendy?
I bet he is.
I bet he is.
All right. Caller number 2. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, guys.
Where are you calling from?
Joliet, but don't hold that against me.
Oh, we certainly will not.
Listeners are heckling themselves today, Wendy. You rarely get that.
You sounded like Eeyore, the donkey there. Calling from Joliet, don't hold it against me. You like KC and the Sunshine Band?
Love them. Absolutely love them. They bring back all the good times.
What's some of your favorite songs? I like Boogie Shoes.
That one and Get Down Tonight, of course.
Yeah. All right, well, cool. Hang on the line. We will set you up, and you are going to go see Casey and the Sunshine Band perform.
I love you guys. You guys are my indoor sunshine every day.
Oh, wow.
Bill and Wendy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Oh, hang on, Elizabeth. That is so sweet.
That was very nice.
Indoor sunshine.
Indoor sunshine.
That's really clever.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hi, how are you? We're figuring out a new format, so we will do it. And we're looking for little Esther. She might be hiding.
She's so little, Wendy, that she may be in the room. We just can't find her. But eventually she'll turn up, I promise you. Very quickly, while we wait for her, I'm doing some preliminary online Christmas shopping. Not buying anything yet, just looking for potential gifts. And I found something yesterday that is both amusing and appalling. Shall I share it with you?
Please do.
There's a company called Dolls to You, the word dolls, the number two, and then the letter U. And what they will do is you send them photographs of somebody, hopefully somebody that you care about, and they create not just a bobblehead of that person, because that's been done, but for some reason they make naked bobbleheads of the people that you want.
So do you have to send a naked picture?
No. In? You don't have to, but on their website, there's a questionnaire. So what you then do is you speculate on what that person, like you'd be familiar with what they look like from the neck on up. So you would send them, you would send them a photograph. Like, Steve, this is what I want to get you for Christmas. So uh-huh. I know what you look like from the neck on up.
Yes.
So I've taken several pictures of you that way. I'm sending them those.
Okay.
But then there's a questionnaire on the website about that person, about their height and their weight and their build, and you fill out that questionnaire, and then there's some back and forth between you and the company to see if you're happy with the way that person looks without their clothes on, with their for their bobblehead.
So
it says happy clients right on their website.
They've got very happy clients. Steve, yes?
How specific are these dolls?
They show a bunch of samples, but all the samples they show, because they also, most of their business is clothed bobbleheads.
Oh, okay.
But now they have ventured into bobbleheads without any clothes on.
The bobble nudie?
Yes, the bobble nudie. So they show a bunch of success stories where they show the person who has received their bobblehead, and they show them side by side, like they're holding them up.
And look, it's,
yeah, they've done a nice job at capturing the clothed version, but they don't show anybody who's opening up their bobblehead without any clothes on.
I don't see where it's the naked ones. It says choose a body, upload your pic, and get your bobblehead.
Yeah.
That's a bobblehead.
Yeah.
I don't see the naked part of it.
Oh,
I think,
you don't?
No.
I wonder why. And you're on the home website?
Dolls to You.
Yeah, that's the
like,
one.
It was Prince's thing, you know, with just yes. the letter U.
This was his business venture before he passed away, yes.
You can make couples like a cake topper for a wedding.
No, again, that's with the option where the person you're having immortalized in bobblehead is clothed. I mean, I guess if you really wanted to, you could do it without the clothing. That's up to you. But you really have to know that person very, very well to pull this off.
This is silly. I mean, like, I'm thinking of Barbie with no clothes on. It's not that exciting.
Oh, I haven't done that in years.
And Ken, trust me, was not very exciting naked.
No.
That's just not fair. Barbie had this.
The lack of equipment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. The equipment was on Barbie. Why did Ken have to sit there and go, I got nothing?
Well, it bothered him more than anyone else, believe me.
You can get superheroes. You can get...
Again, all the ones you're looking at are the clothed version. You're not finding the tab?
No, they don't have a naked one.
Oh, interesting. They show, like, the first offering I found when I Googled this, because I was just looking for bobbleheads, and then I saw the one. It's a woman who's... She's without clothing, but she's kind of covering herself up strategically.
Was it the Suzanne Summers bobblehead?
No, there wasn't. I remember that picture, right. No, it's just a woman who was surprised that somebody who cares about her, I hope, sent her this as a gift.
All these bobbleheads have clothes on, and you can pick the clothing. Like, somebody has a New York Yankees shirt on while he's holding a beer, suit. You know, I'm sure you could put a cardigan on them. Somebody wearing a Superman. There is no naked.
Wasn't there an episode of The Office where somebody got one for Dwight,
yeah,
and then he kept it in his cubicle for the rest of the run of the show? I seem to remember that. But again, with clothes, the new version is without the clothes. But you really have to have a relationship with that person to pull this off successfully, I think.
I don't think it's going to be an accurate depiction, although they did get the face pretty well.
That's why I'm saying they're going, like, there's this questionnaire where you fill out, like, the color of the person's skin and their body type, you know? But you're not showing that.
This must be an offshoot of that. Because on their regular website,
yeah,
it doesn't have anything. Do the naughty bits bobble too, says 269. Now that I would buy.
I hadn't thought of it, but it does make it a more interesting idea, doesn't it?
That would be great. That would be funny.
Yeah. Speaking of The Office, another potential Christmas gift idea, there's a Clue game now that has come out, and it's based on The Office and what the premise is. Remember how on the old Clue game, there was some guy who died and you had to determine who the murderer was, what weapon they used, and which
in what room,
right? So now in the Clue version of it, Toby, the HR guy, has been murdered. Toby Flenderson has been murdered.
That is so typical.
And
they are all so mean to him.
Yeah. So you have to determine which of your favorite Office characters was the murderer, which Office weapon, like there's a stapler, there's a letter opener. You know, it's not like the old ones where it was a rope and a revolver.
Candlestick.
And a knife. Yeah. So it's which Office weapon they used, who from the Office did it, and then which part of the Office. It's the old grid from the old Clue game, but it looks very much like Dunder Mifflin, like their Office.
I love that.
Yeah.
I already know it was Michael Scott. He was so mean to Toby. He used his little small / big screen TV. That's probably, after Jan broke it, he probably used that to kill him.
Right.
And then in what room? His office. His particular office.
Yeah. His little cubicle.
That is my nightcap every night, watching an episode of The Office. It's just like constantly being recorded because it's just so funny every time.
I think, and I've mentioned this before, but the way our generation looked at the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Andy Griffith Show, our kids are now looking at The Office and Friends.
Yeah.
That's their classic comedy.
I love The Office.
And good choices. Both of those are excellent choices.
We have found little Esther. So we're going to take a quick little break, and we are going to talk to her about this new Hulu original series called Dollface.
And Steve, act surprised when you get your bobblehead from me for Christmas, okay?
Well, I will if it disappoints me.
I filled out a box that says actual size, but I don't know what it meant. I just put a check mark on the box.
That's Dolls, the number 2, U. And we'll talk about Dollface next here on 720 WGN. And just to clarify, Bill had me Google nude bobbleheads.
Yes.
I did. It's
like you wouldn't have done it on your own anyway.
Can't wait to see your Instagram feed now, the ads that follow you around.
It is ridiculous. It's dolls, the number 2u.com.
Yeah.
And if you go, like I said, you could get wedding toppers and things like that. But if you click in the humorous category, they have a nude guy.
Yep.
A pen holder that is very obscene.
Yeah, and it would be painful to do what's happening with that pen holder.
A man on a toilet. Who would get that for someone?
I don't know. I have no idea.
A guy with just tidy whities and a holster holding a gun. A guy in a Speedo.
Yeah.
Just a complete nude guy, but he's covering his junk.
There's a lot more options for naked guys at this website than naked girls. It's not fair.
All right, well, that's what Bill was talking about, and I'm sure Esther Pavitsky is very excited to be following this.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Esther. Esther is in this new show that is a Hulu exclusive. It starts today, and it's called Dollface, and you're from here. Hi, Esther. How are you?
Hi, you guys. Yeah, I'm actually from Skokie, and whenever I say I'm from Chicago, people get angry, and then when I say I'm from Illinois, people also get angry, so I don't know what to say anymore, but I just say Skokie, and if you haven't heard of it, that's your problem.
You have been all over the place, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You were, I love Maria Bamford, and you were on Lady Dynamite. You have been all over.
Yeah, I love her. She's like one of my icons, absolutely.
Now, how long have you been doing stand-up? Because I know you're an actress. Which came first?
I started doing stand-up about 10 years ago. I was in school at the University of Illinois in Champaign, and then I moved out to L.A., and started doing stand-up right away. And then a couple years into that, I started going on auditions, and then eventually I wrote and made this short film called Alone Together, which became a TV series, and then now I'm on Dollface.
Esther, do you think that being an actress helps your stand-up comedy, and conversely, being a comedian helps your acting? Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, I do. I feel like kind of all of those things are kind of cross-training for the other, you know, even podcasting I'll throw in there. Like, they all serve each other. They're all, like, part of the 10,000 hours, you know?
So Dollface drops today, right? It premieres today, November 15th. And Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls, I've got to be honest with you, I can't believe she has to ever work again because that show is just on and on and on. And so Kat and Margot Robbie have produced this. Give us a little synopsis of Dollface.
So it stars Kat Dennings, who basically right away she gets dumped and she's so shocked, and she realizes, oh wait, while I was like in this 5-year relationship, I completely lost sight of all my friends, which I'm guilty of doing. I've been on both sides of that. And then she has to kind of rediscover what it's like to have friends. And then I work at her office, and then I kind of just like attach myself to her friend group, which is also something I've done in real life.
Well, so good. You called upon your own experiences for this role then, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to be doing some live comedy. That's December 4th at Lincoln Hall. What can we expect there?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited for that show. So I just taped my stand-up special for Comedy Central, and on my tech tour, I didn't stop in Chicago, and I was like, well, this is not okay. And so basically I just was like, I really want Lou Malnati's pizza, so can we set up a date in Chicago? And that's what we're doing.
When you're doing stand-up locally, the odds are really good you're going to have family and friends coming to watch you, Esther. Does that change the show at all, or is it the same show regardless?
It'll be the same show, but I will be very in my head and very upset at my mom for inviting all my childhood friends' parents. It'll be okay, but...
I'm curious to know if you, I've watched some of your YouTube segments. You're really funny. You just seem so young and cute. And I just wonder if you get political in this day and age. It seems to be a really divisive time. Do you get political in your act, or do you kind of keep away from that?
That's a good question. So my act is not political at all. Like, when I'm on stage doing stand-up, it's just all about the laughs. Like, I'm not trying to be a better person. Come on. Like, it's just about having fun. That's not to say that I'm not, like, political in my own life, but definitely on stage. I mean, unless, like, talking about how my boyfriend will let me call him daddy in bed is political, like, you tell me. I don't know.
I think it's very political. I'm not going. You've offended me. I'm out. Who did you look up at as a role model or role models when you were younger?
I watched a lot of Saturday Night Live, and I really looked up to Adam Sandler, Chris Farley. And then when I was in high school and I discovered stand-up, I really looked up to Maria Bamford. And since I moved to L.A., I've discovered really, really funny comedians like Chelsea Peretti, Whitney Cummings, Natasha Leggero. I really look up to those women, like, every single day.
That's quite an impressive list. And Natasha Leggero is from Rockford originally.
Is she really? I love
she's
her.
She's got some Midwest roots, too.
I know. She's such an Illinois girl.
Very strong list.
Illinois girls are awesome. Can I just say that?
I can say that, too. Yeah, let's say that. I like that.
Have you been up for a part on SNL? Did you ever audition for them?
I never did. You know, I've never really done characters or impressions. Like, I've always really just been this one thing, and that's like a insecure but somehow still kind of confident, desperate girl.
Yeah.
And that's really all I got.
Oh, well, sometimes you find the golden nugget. You just stay on it. What kind of advice are you getting from your family? What's your mom saying about your success?
Well, I recently found an old email from my dad that said I've exceeded his expectations, and that was the day after I booked a Dairy Queen commercial. So they really just see me as a do-nothing, and they can't believe, like, my dad still, all he can think about is, like, how I couldn't get out of bed for school, and he's just like, I don't understand. How do you make it to work?
Promise me you printed out that email and you have it prominently displayed somewhere, because I would look at that every single day.
That's such a good idea. Oh, my God. You're so right. I have to do that.
Yeah, you need that somewhere.
That is so funny. any chance you'll play Shirley Temple someday?
Well, funny you ask. I just played Shirley Temple in a digital series that where I got to tap dance. And they almost cut the tap number. And then the creator was like, I knew if I cut the tap number, Esther would kill me. And I was like, that's right. So we got to tap dance. It was really fun.
Are you a good tap dancer?
I am an amazing tap dancer. Oh. I'm a good beginner.
Esther, I'm guessing you came up at about the same time as Rachel Brosnahan, because you guys are from kind of a close area. Skokie and Highland Park are kind of close. Did you ever get to meet her or work with her?
No, I've never met her, but I did see that she went to Nutria, which I was so surprised by, because I went to Niles North, so I'm from Skokie. I went to Niles North, but my dance studio that I went to was in Wilmette, and basically everyone else there was from Nutria. So I knew a lot of Nutria girls, but I never knew Rachel. She's so cute. I absolutely adore her.
Niles North is the one that's kind of in Old Orchard, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. Across the street from Old Orchard Mall.
The University
I definitely
of Old Orchard.
Went every day.
Oh my God. What a great place to go.
Perfect.
To high school.
Perfect.
I know.
And I wanted to ask you what you majored in at U of I, and is it coming in handy right now with what you're doing?
So I was actually a dance major my first semester, and then I switched. Yeah, and then I switched into journalism, but ultimately I actually ended up dropping out 2.5 years in because I didn't love the cornfield lifestyle. Like, I was more. I think if I had been at a school in the city, I would have been happy, but that was a little far out for me.
But so when you were at U of I, you'd take the train in to go to classes at Second City and Improv Olympic?
Yeah, so I would, every weekend I took the train and I did this class at Improv Olympic, which is my favorite, and it's kind of dorky. Like, instead of like going to parties and having fun, I was like, I'm going to go back to Skokie. Damn, I go out to dinner with my parents and then take improv class.
But look at how it's paying off.
Why I dropped out.
The payoff is tremendous, though. That's great.
Yeah.
Esther, on the show on Dollface, one of the producers is Margot Robbie. I'm guessing you've had a chance to meet her, right?
I have, and I honestly wish I hadn't. She's so beautiful. It has changed my life forever. I mean, I've never noticed somebody's hands before. Margot Robbie has beautiful hands. I'm like, I'm attracted to her hands. Something is wrong.
Do you think she's getting a lot of her parts because her hands are so pretty? I bet she is.
That's what it is. Yep. It has to be it. Yep.
Well, we are so happy for you. I love to see a local girl done good. She's Esther Pavitsky.
Thank you.
On Facebook, at Comedian Esther, Twitter, Little Esther, and Instagram, Esther Monster. We will follow you. Congratulations. The premiere is today on Hulu. It's called Dollface. And where can we find you dancing like Shirley Temple?
Probably at Lincoln Hall, December 4th.
We'll be there. Wendy and I are the biggest Shirley Temple fans in the world, so we will be front and center.
Oh, my God. You guys, thank you so much. I'm such a huge fan of yours. It means so much to me that you guys had me on the show.
Well, thanks, Esther. Take care. Good continued success.
Thanks. You too. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Yeah, please keep in touch.
Bye.
How about that?
That's so nice.
Little Esther likes
us.
Yes,
yes.
I'm a big fan of hers. We are going to take a quick break. We are going to talk television. The new Star Wars series, The Mandalorian, I can't tell you how many times Jimmy Mack has watched it.
You've not seen it yet.
No, and everyone in my house, well, 2 out of 4 of us have seen it, and no one can discuss it because I don't want anything spoiled.
Right.
I saw a few moments yesterday, and it looked pretty great. I'm hearing really fantastic things about this.
This is about Boba Fett or his father or a relative. Who's it? Do we? We don't know.
You're looking at me.
I don't know who it's about.
I don't ask questions.
All right.
Because I'll get really long answers.
Yeah. You don't need that.
No, I don't.
All right, we'll talk about that and other TV with Alexander Zalbin in a little while. Stay where you are. It's us.
Sorry. Yeah, and the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Every Friday we talk to Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. Alex, how are things? Everything good?
Everything's doing great here. How's it with you?
No complaints, Alex. No complaints at all. Wendy just brought up this show, The Mandalorian. It's part of the Disney Plus network. And it has to do with, I can't tell by seeing the commercials for it. Is it Boba Fett? Is it Jango Fett? Is it somebody in the Fett family? Who is it?
It's none of their uncles or cousins.
Oh.
It's actually just somebody in very similar armor. Now, better Star Wars people than I can probably explain it better, but basically it's a designation. It's not exactly a race. It's more of a religious order. They all wear that armor. But this guy is kind of exactly like Boba Fett. He is also a bounty hunter going through the Star Wars galaxy. The first episode dropped Tuesday for Disney Plus's launch. The second episode is actually live right now, and new episodes are going to debut every single Friday on Disney Plus. I believe the first season is 8 episodes long. And so far, in my opinion, they've been great. They've been absolutely gorgeous to look at. They channel a Western very well. You know, you literally have a man with no name and no face because he's wearing the helmet. And it's a lot of him sort of trucking through the wilderness, tracking down bounties. There's a big shocking surprise for fans of Star Wars at the end of the first episode that it won't ruin, but it plays in very big in the second episode and becomes clear. It's going to be following a serialized story, but each episode is very much going to be its own adventure with its own structure. I'm very excited about where this is going.
You mentioned that it's like a Western. I think even George Lucas himself says that the original Star Wars stories were Westerns. They are. If you look at it, the way they're paced very much like the old Westerns from the 1930s and 40s.
Yeah, he always said that he was going for sort of Western serials, and then you would take all of those serialized episodes and jam them together into a full movie. Without slamming any of the original Star Wars, this does that better. Like, it really feels like if you stripped away all the sci-fi trappings and everything, it would almost be a Clint Eastwood movie. Granted, it's not. You still do have those blasters and aliens and everything, spaceships and everything else that's going on. But down to, you don't hear John Williams' score in there, which is so intrinsically tied to Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's by Ludwig Göransson, I believe is the guy's name. And it feels very spaghetti Western, but still at the same time channeling the horns of John Williams and the other music there. So it's very neat. I was very surprised. I like Star Wars, mind you, but I was very surprised how much I like the series so far.
I am married to a Star Wars aficionado, and we actually got our Amazon Fire Stick on Sunday to make sure everything was set up and ready for the launch on Tuesday morning. And then there were some major issues with lots of customers, some glitches. We could pick it up on the iPad, but not on the TV, but they seem to have gotten that all together fairly quickly.
Mostly, no? I'd say. Certainly they had huge launch day issues. I logged on very early on Tuesday morning so that we could get prepped for work for our coverage here at Decider. And I immediately regretted this tweet, but I think around 6:30 or something, I tweeted and said, had a great time signing up for Disney Plus, real smooth so far, at which point it immediately started crashing. So definitely my fault that I jinxed everything. But they seem to have mostly smoothed it out, except I'm still seeing some errors today. I've been popping in and out of content as we've been covering different things here. And I found at least on desktop, when you jump into things, sometimes it will give you an error and say, sorry, this isn't available right now. So you just wait a minute and you check back again. Eventually they'll iron this out, but folks have been pointing a little bit to they were prepared for the demand, except for the fact that if you have Verizon, you get a year free subscription. And that jumped up their subscriber base so exponentially immediately that turned out they were not actually prepared for the demand. And I think they're still catching up to that right now.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday, Alex, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Disney has decided on some of the content, some of the films that they made back in the 50s and the 60s, and even into the 70s, that it was culturally insensitive, and so there's sort of a disclaimer before some of their shows and movies. So the debate yesterday was, what do you do with content like that that was made years ago when the world wasn't as politically correct? Do you still run it? Do you edit those scenes out, or do you throw a disclaimer on? What are your thoughts?
I've actually been very impressed with how they have been transparent in their messages on their site. From the cultural insensitivity thing to letting people know, hey, this movie isn't on here, but it's going to be on here in February 21st, 2021, when other rights expire from other services. That's great. I think actually letting people know these things up front, and to your point, I'm glad they don't have Song of the South on there. I think that's probably maybe a little bit of a step too far, but they have that on something like Dumbo that does have culturally sensitive depictions. At the time, perhaps debatable, it was okay. Certainly now it's the sort of thing that you don't want to necessarily jump into clean. So let people know up front, preserve the art, preserve the work, let them watch it and let them make their own judgments. But, you know, it is a part of history, and I think it pays homage to that, not turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah, I like that they're actually running it in its entirety, putting a warning so you can make the choice on your own. But I noticed with The Simpsons, they have removed the Michael Jackson episode. Yeah. They are running every other episode of The Simpsons.
And that was actually The Simpsons' choice. That was not Disney's choice. After everything that went down relatively recently with the Leaving Neverland documentary, the producers of The Simpsons pulled that from streaming across the board. So that's something that happened pre-Disney Plus, and they've just continued here.
Did you see who came out on the side? We talked about Song of the South yesterday a little bit too, Alex, and I was surprised to see Whoopi Goldberg said that Disney should show Song of the South so that we can study it and examine it and debate it. And I'm in the same corner. I think the exact same thing. I understand people saying, you know, the treatment of the plantations was horrible in that movie. I get that, but I also think it was a film that's an important film for that reason, so that we can have that debate
and we can learn from it.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's a good idea to have it accessible to people so they can check it out. I'm a little iffier on putting it on Disney Plus, where my kids are going to go online and kind of browse through content.
Yeah.
So I get leaving it off there. But yes, to your point, there's lots of things that we should not look away from. I don't think, you know, nobody thinks we should be burning books or burning movies or anything like that. Like we said, these are part of history and they should be available. I think just the question is when and where.
Let me ask you one more quick question about The Mandalorian. Production values on this show are extremely high. It is like making a movie every week. Can they keep that up for any length of time, or is that a hard thing, a hard schedule to keep up with when you're making essentially a feature film every week?
Yeah, I mean, they're very ahead. They're actually already in production on the second season at this point, so they are done with the first season. And to your point, I have been stunned how good that show looks. We were talking about it a little bit here at work, but one of the things that I think they did, which is so smart and harkening back to the original Star Wars, is they use very spotty CGI for characters, by which I mean it's just kind of here and there, or to flesh out characters here and there, versus that being the main thing. They're using a lot of puppets, a lot of animatronics, just like the original Star Wars, and I think ultimately that actually speeds it up a little bit. They're filming things in the camera and then just fixing them here and there in post versus, say, the prequel trilogy that was almost entirely built in a computer.
Interesting. All right, we'll discuss more television with Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill left, it's Wendy Snyder. Alexander Zalbin is here, formerly known as Dr. Chaos, but not anymore.
Who's the doctor from The Watchmen? Dr.
Manhattan.
Yes, yeah, I couldn't think of it. Dr. I'm Manhattan. Loving that Watchmen series, by the way. I just want to say that. Mm-hmm. It's pretty great.
It's fantastic. I was very nervous going into it because Watchmen, the comic book, is so well revered. It's so well done. It's one of these untouchable things that you shouldn't go back to. But the way that they've hit it has really paid tribute to the comic, gone its own path. It's weird. It's wild. It's great.
And that's
if
on
you
HBO.
Haven't checked it out, on HBO, even if you're sick of superhero shows, it's very anti-superhero show, so I highly recommend it that
really
way.
Good.
It's time to start watching Christmas TV shows and movies and specials. Klaus with J.K. Simmons. What is this?
Yes. This is a new movie that is on Netflix today. J.K. Simmons does the voice of Santa Claus. Rashida Jones, Jason Schwartzman, Joan Cusack, and a bunch of others are also in it. And it's sort of a Santa Claus origin story, but it's sweet and funny for the whole family. Our reviewer liked it quite a bit. So, if you're looking for a good family Christmas film, you can definitely check that one out.
Good. I like to hear that. We just had one of the stars of Dollface on just before you were on, Alex.
Little Esther Pavitsky.
Esther Pavitsky.
Oh, I love her. She's great.
What did you think of Dollface? It just, it's a new Hulu series with Kat Dennings and Esther. What did you think?
Yeah, I was kind of iffy on it, to be honest. It's not exactly my thing. I really love all the actresses involved, from Esther Pavitsky to Brenda Song, Shay Mitchell, Kat Dennings stars in it, so they're all great. It felt a little on the nose for me. It's this magical realism show. After a girl is broken up with by her boyfriend, she goes through a journey to reconnect with her friends, but there's things like she feels like she's a cat lady now, so she gets on a bus that's driven by a literal cat lady. That's the sort of show it is. But our revered writer, Kayla Cobb, watched beyond the first episode. I only watched the first one and really dug it a lot. She thought it had a lot of great stuff to say about female friendship. It gets funnier as it goes on. So even though I was not the biggest fan, I think trust Kayla more on this one.
All right. Again, that is Dollface. It breaks today on Hulu. Earthquake Bird. This is on Netflix. It's a murder mystery, but not really. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's sort of somebody gets murdered right at the beginning. It stars Alicia Vikander, who you might know from Tomb Raider, among other things, and Riley Keough, who's been in a bunch of things as well.
Elvis's granddaughter, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Though that doesn't play into the movie too much.
But she doesn't shoot up anybody's TV at any point in the movie?
She shakes her hips a lot. Weird. But it's a drama about them in Tokyo being friends. One of them gets murdered right at the beginning of the movie, and it flashes back and shows how you get to that point. Our reviewer, Anna Menta, thought that was pretty good just in terms of the performances. Keough and Vikander are both great in it. But as a drama, it's a little iffy. So, again, if you're just kind of looking to watch something on Netflix, you can joyfully turn it on for some good, solid performances.
Here's go on, Randy.
I was just going to say, at the urging of both of you, I believe, I watched Modern Love, and I have to tell you, it is just enlightening. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to say. It's really super good. You can see parts of yourself and your relationship and friends you know and their relationship in a lot of the things you see. Anne Hathaway did an amazing job portraying someone who is bipolar. Really, really, really great. That's all I have to say. So thank you to both of you.
Oh.
Yeah, any time. And one of the nice things about an anthology like that, it's on Prime Video right now, is you're always going to find something for everybody, you know, to identify with, because each episode is not connected to the other, technically, until the end. But
yes.
Oh, I haven't gotten to the end yet. So.
Little bit of a spoiler there.
Alex, The Crown is back, very popular show, and they're bringing in Olivia Colman, one of the hottest actresses working today, is the lead in The Crown. What can you tell us beyond that?
Yeah, well, one of the big things to give everybody a heads up about, this is a weird thing for Netflix. Usually they'll release their new shows on Fridays, though they've been experimenting with other days here and there. All of The Crown is actually dropping this Sunday, November 17th, on Netflix. So it's not there today. It's not there next Friday. It's going to be there over the weekend. But the big thing is they're jumping forward in time to between 1964 and 1977 for this season. And Olivia Colman is taking over as Queen Elizabeth II from Claire Foy. There's a whole new cast playing all of the different parts. So you're going to see Tobias Menzies, who people might remember from Outlander, among other things, is taking over from Matt Smith as Prince Philip. And everybody that I have talked to has seen it. It's as lush as it has been before, as steeped in the British monarchy. To be perfectly honest, it is very much not my thing. But I know everybody who has seen it here has thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you like The Crown, it's more of the same, even though it's a different cast.
This wasn't on our list of things to discuss with you, but I just found out about this the other day. I saw a commercial for it several months ago. They did remakes of episodes of All in the Family and The Jeffersons, did very well in the ratings, and was really fun to watch. They recast it with new actors, obviously. Now they're going to do a Christmas special where with an All in the Family episode and a Jeffersons episode. Are you up on this, Alex? Did you already know this?
No, I didn't actually hear about this. I knew that since the first one did so well that we were going to see a lot more of them going forward. Yeah. But I hadn't actually heard about the Christmas episode thing. That's great.
I don't remember, and I could be wrong on this, I was a huge fan of All in the Family when it originally ran. I don't remember there being a quote-unquote Christmas episode, so I'm curious to see which episode they do. Jefferson's the same way. I also don't know if it's going to be the same cast as from last year when they did episodes, but I thought it was a very interesting show to watch when they remade these episodes, so I'm looking forward to it. It's, I think it's the week of Christmas, I believe, that they both air.
Yeah, I'm looking through some of the information now. It's going to be on December 18th, and they haven't set the casts yet, so it is unclear whether those folks from the previous one will be coming back yet or not, but I'm sure we'll hear something about it soon.
And then really, really quickly, I want to mention this. I watched The Spy, which is the Sacha Baron Cohen show, where he plays, obviously, a spy. I told Wendy this. Sometimes it was difficult to separate him from Borat. Every once in a while, I'd be watching a very, very difficult scene, and I'd go, oh, no, they're going to hurt Borat. I don't want that. But overall, he did a magnificent job, and I thought the show was really interesting to watch.
Sacha Baron Cohen is actually a very good actor. It's an underrated part of him because he does play these outrageous characters, but it definitely worked for something like The Spy, even though, to your point, it's very surprising.
And it's similar, I have to say, if you're a fan of Homeland, it's the same guy, Gideon Raff, who did the Israeli version of Homeland. It's got the same kind of flavor as Homeland, where you're constantly tense and nervous, but then when it's all said and done, you're glad you watched it.
Yeah, and that's on Netflix now, so you can definitely check that out. And there's only 6 episodes, so it's an easy binge.
Alex, great to talk to you. We really appreciate it. We'll check in with you a week from today.
All right, sounds great. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Who likes classic rock? I do. There's a great new book out. We're going to talk about that coming up after the news here on 720 WGN. Those old records off the shelf. I have records. I love that my kids are into vinyl. You can purchase turntables anywhere. It just reminds me of high school.
Sure.
Did you have a lot of albums?
Oh,
or were
yeah.
you more into 8-tracks or something?
A little
I never
bit
had
of both,
an 8-track player.
Oh, you didn't? Mm-mm. No. Music is so much better when it's interrupted by a clicking noise.
In the studio with us, Mark Plotnick and Jim Samaria. Am I saying that right? Samaria.
Right. Thank
Samaria?
You.
Which is it?
Samaria.
Samaria. This book was sent to us. It's called Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. I cannot put this down. These pictures are beautiful. There are tidbits about a lot of bands. Mark, let's start with you. How did this come together?
Well, I'm going to defer to Jim. Jim's has a portfolio that he always wanted to put together in a book. And I had retired in 2010, and he called me up and said, get ready to do a book. And Jim, why don't you talk a little bit more about that? Because
Jim, these pictures are amazing.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Yeah, back in the day, in the 70s, I was the photographer for Flipside Productions. And so I had all these great shots from the 70s, and I was selling them to some magazines here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what am I going to do with them anymore, right? So
frame them and put them all over your walls.
Yes, and they are. They're all over the house. My wife wants me to take them down. But I had an idea. I started shooting concerts again in 2006. So now I was getting the same classic rock guys looking like how they are today.
Yeah.
A little bit older.
Some look better than others, I'll tell you that. Right. Robert Plant not looking so good in his older years.
But a nice man.
Oh, I'm not saying anything yeah. about it, but it's bad when Jimmy Page is the best looking one around.
So I needed to get some pictures of the today people. And it started with Johnny Winter. his manager, Paul Nelson, called me, and he wanted to purchase one of my 70s pictures to put on his new CD. So I went and sold him the photograph. And then the next time he was in town, I said, hey, I'll take some pictures of Johnny Winter. So I did that. And I met a lady named Lisa Torum, who was a rock and roll writer. And I said, hey, you know, I'll take pictures for you at concerts. And so this went on. But I wasn't getting enough, and then the idea for the book came in my mind. Hey, before and after, then and now, or today and yesterday, as it turned out. And what I wanted to do was get more pictures. And then I found out that the Arcata Theater out in St. Charles had a lot of classic rock shows. So I contacted Ron Onesti. I told him about the book, and he said, well, let me think about it. He thought about it, and he gave me a call, and he said, okay, I'll give you a free rein. Come to any concert you want. Just check in with my head photographer, Lou Bellotti, and you can come to any show. And for example, last night I photographed John Lodge of the Moody Blues, and tonight I'm photographing America. And that's how that part started. But just really quick how it started in the beginning, because it's kind of a cool story. I snuck on the main floor of a Led Zeppelin concert in 1973. Those were the days you could do that.
And security not as tight back then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I got about third row, and I'm taking pictures, and I got these great pictures of Plant and Page. So I went to my local store, which was Flipside, and said, hey, you want to put them on the wall? Maybe we could sell them. And they said, okay. So another concert comes. I do the same thing, another concert. So Rich Carlson, who was the manager, said, would you like to be our official photographer? And I said, sure, you know. Well, it turns out Flipside was also the producer, promoter of all the concerts.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting backstage. I was 19 years old.
Oh, God, that's a dream come true.
I just had to meet with Carl and Larry Rosenbaum. They said, okay, you could be our photographer. So I was their official photographer. So at 19, I was getting backstage and shooting Black Sabbath and The Who and all these great bands. And, you know, the week before, I'm standing in line at Ticketron. Trying to get tickets, and all of a sudden it's like I'm walking in with the band. And it was obviously, you know, a lot of people helped me through the way.
And
it was a very cool beginning.
And I'm only mad at Robert Plant, because why doesn't he just get back together with the Zep people? Come on, you can have Jason Bonham do drums. Come on, we're all dying for it.
He doesn't want to do it.
I know he doesn't.
He feels that several rock stars at this stage feel that they... people don't want to see them in their 70s getting up there and doing songs that they used to do in their 20s.
What about The Who? I just saw The Who. They were fantastic. Well, they look great.
Roger Daltrey was great. I understand he was excellent. But I think Robert Plant actually made a good decision. He did an album with Alison Krauss.
Yeah, they were great together.
And I think he's just interested in trying other things that maybe fit, you know, his voice at this point in his life.
The Eagles, they sound pretty darn good back together. They could do it. All right, come on, Robert Plant.
Jim, there's an energy to rock and roll and to the people who play rock and roll. What's the key to capturing that energy in a photograph?
Well, I always, as a photojournalist, you want to capture the decisive moment.
Yeah.
And the decisive moment could be anything from a hand gesture to a facial expression. And what I want to do is when people see my photos is to feel like they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, because I'm up close and a lot of people might be in the cheap seats, that's why I want to show them what it's like up close. So you're really getting something. But you want the people to feel the music through my photographs.
Yeah.
There's a great picture of Eric Clapton from 1974 at the International Amphitheater here in Chicago, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's only triple inductee, as he went in with the Yardbirds, Cream, and solo artist.
My idol, Eric Clapton.
Oh, God, just a young Eric Clapton. Now, this book has a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, doesn't it? Is it part of it?
The book is part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, Library, and Archives. We were actually VIP guests there back in April. They invited us out there with a little ceremony. And recently, our book was actually put into the gift shop for sale, which was quite an honor because they have limited space for books. But the experience at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was just amazing. We got to look at different types of instruments that nobody gets to see. They took us in these climate-controlled areas that are off-limits to the public. And, Jim, why don't you tell some of the instruments that we saw? And
whose guitars?
Well, we walked in, and we went in the back area. And the first thing they show us was John Lennon's guitar from the rooftop.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the next one right next to it was from the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, wow.
I offered him $10.
They said no to that?
They said no.
And their mistake.
You know, I upped it to $12.50 and it's still no. But that was quite, other than being on the show, I'd say that's the highlight of the highlight of this book. Because we saw other things, original Jimi Hendrix lyrics that he wrote on just a piece of paper. The John Lennon...
Purple Haze, Jesus Saves was the original title for Purple Haze. And then they took us into this room, and there's this little steel box sitting on a shelf all by itself. And we're told that that was donated by Yoko Lennon. It's, Yoko Ono. And it's a box with personal belongings of John Lennon that's not to be opened until the year 2040.
A time capsule.
Yeah, that it's a time capsule.
Amazing.
And Jimi Hendrix's guitar strap from Woodstock and Prince, you know, apparel and all these things.
What's their plan with that stuff? If it's not on display, they're just keeping it kind of in the back. What are they doing with
it? A lot of people donate things. They need to keep it in a safe place. They archive it. These people are all professionals. They all have master's degrees in this and that and in library science. And the goal is to make sure it's in a safe place, that's handled properly, and then they prepare it for rotating exhibits because they've got more that they can put out there. And we were just like kids in the candy store. It was, I'm 69 years old. It was one of the thrills of my life,
really?
I hate to say it, next to meeting my wife. But
nicely done. Very
it
nice.
It was quite an honor. And
I can imagine.
This just seriously, this really shaped who we are today as the music we listened to when we were growing up. And it has such a special place. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come back, find out where you can purchase this book. Of course, you can get it in the gift shop at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you're there, but there are other places. It's Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, photos by Jim Samaria and words by Mark Plotnick. And we will continue after this on 720 WGN. We are talking rock and roll. The book is called Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. And we have Mark Plotnick in the studio and Jim Samaria.
You're getting it, Wendy. You're getting it.
I'm getting it. Jim has taken the photos. Mark, you have provided the words. And where can people get this book? Because what a great stocking stuffer.
Well, of course, it's available on Amazon, but we hope your listeners will support their local bookseller. Right now, it can be found at Barber's Bookstores in Chicago and Barnes & Noble. If you're out in Portland, Powell City of Books carries it. In California, Amoeba Music Stores
carry
the book.
I love Amoeba Records.
Yeah. And what am I forgetting? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gift shop in
Cleveland.
Do you
have a website where people can get all this information?
Yes.
You could just contact me on my website, jimsamariaphoto.com. jimsamariaphoto.com.
Some of your favorite pictures in this book, because I'm looking through it. You've got everybody. You've got Rory Gallagher, New York Dolls, Robin Trower, Paul McCartney and Wings.
Who's that last one?
Paul McCartney. You remember?
Yeah,
he was very popular.
Name.
Very
I don't
popular.
Know that name.
I mean, where do you even begin with, like, what's your favorite photo? Who was your favorite person to photograph?
That's easy. My favorite band to photograph was The Who, especially the Keith Moon era.
Yeah.
Which really is The Who. You don't know who to shoot, because all other than John Entwistle, they were just so dynamic.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most exciting. One of my favorite people of all time is on the cover, Rory Gallagher. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a cool story. When we were doing the mock-up for the cover, we were going back and forth, what are we going to do? Should we put Who on there or Zeppelin, et cetera? But it's mm-hmm. like, okay, people might think it's about The Who or Zeppelin. So we thought it out, and we thought, okay, we'll do Rory Gallagher, especially doing, you know, running with the guitar like he's doing. So we put out a mock-up on Facebook that, hey, here comes our our book, all of a sudden I get an email from Rory Gallagher's nephew, and he said, "This is so cool that you're putting my uncle on the cover. I want you to be in contact with my dad, who is the brother of Rory Gallagher." And so he wrote me and just was so thrilled. So it's actually on Rory Gallagher's website, official website, that our book is there.
Nice.
But they were just so thrilled that we put him on the cover. And
you know, one of the great things about Rory Gallagher is when he was alive, he was really revered in Ireland. When Belfast was having, you know, a lot of violence in those years, he made it a point of going and playing Belfast to bring hope and inspiration to a lot of Irish musicians and the youth out there, because there was a lot of despair going on in that part of the world, and it was quite a selfless act. And they have all kinds of festivals for him over there, and nobody in rock and roll worked harder than Rory Gallagher when he got on stage.
Good. I've noticed in a lot of rock and roll photographs, the subject is a little sweaty because you've got him doing his job, and if he's doing his job right, he's going to sweat a little bit. Does that enhance the picture a little bit to see a guy all greased up like that from work?
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
is sexy.
If you're going to spend $70 on a ticket, sweat, baby. You know, I want you working for your money. So, I think it's... You know, just the faces that they make. You know,
the
especially guitarists, they always make
Robin Trower, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't look at him after a while. We saw him at the Park West, and it's like, that is just weird. Yeah. I can't watch the face anymore. So then you watch the fingers playing the guitar.
Yeah. I always like that moment where the lead singer and somebody in the band makes eye contact, you know, where Bruce Springsteen and Clarence Clemons just have that half a second where they go, this is working. Yeah. I always like that second, you know?
Well, that's the best part about live music is watching musicians interact and then interacting with the audience. And you see those little smiles, and then they walk towards each other when you know they're in a groove, and that's why live music is the best as far as I'm concerned.
Who has eluded you? Who have you always wanted to shoot that for one reason or another it just hasn't happened yet?
Springsteen.
Yeah. What's going on? Why do you think that hasn't happened yet?
Well, first off, he's probably not going to play a small venue, and to get photo passes for the large venues like Elton John's coming soon, chances are I won't get a pass for that unless somebody's listening out there who could give me a pass. So it's kind of difficult, because to get passes, you have to get the permission of the management, and so that's why I go through the Arcata, because then they get the permission for me. So that makes it a lot easier.
Ron Onesti helps everyone. Seriously, he brings back, just if you go to oshows.com, you will find so many shows that you want to go see. You really do. And it's just a special place in our hearts. I went to see, I can't think of her name, Ronnie Spector. She did a Christmas show at the Arcata. It was like the most amazing night in the world, and it really does bring you back to your roots.
But yeah, he gets a couple hundred shows a year, a lot of classic rock. So, you know, if you want to see a good show, and the price is right, and it's so small, it's what, 900-seater, I think. You know, you're close no matter where you're sitting.
Yeah, and the acoustics are excellent there. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think Ron at a recent show said that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame said that the Arcata puts on more classic rock acts than any other venue in the United States.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
A lot of these pictures were taken there, and you can see, like, then and now on some people I like looking at the old ones, Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart. You've got the Kinks, Joe Walsh. It's just really an amazing book and would make a great stocking stuffer. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
When you really quickly, when you see that moment of stars from the old days and then today, and you know time has passed and life has moved on, what does that do to you psychologically when you see the early version of them and the current version next to each other?
Well, I still think they're great.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the things I think that a lot of them do is they surround themselves with phenomenal musicians. For example, John Lodge last night of the Moody Blues, the musicians he had were much, much younger than him, but they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're not the same age, but they're still up there being excited and enjoying it, and they love making the crowd happy.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, people are there for the nostalgia and all that. And, you know, you hear a song like Knights in White Satin, you think back, what was I doing to that song, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was.
Breathe Deep, The Gathering Gloom.
They did that. They did that. Graham Edge actually re-recorded that just for that concert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is super cool. Really quickly, we have like 30 seconds here. Dave, you have a question real quickly.
I'm in the Chicago Community Darkroom where we still shoot film, and we want to know, like back in the 70s, what films were you using to shoot your subjects with at the concerts?
Oh, back in the 70s, I was shooting ektachrome. Tungsten.
That's color, but did you do any like black and white films?
Yeah, I did Tri-X, and then I would push that to 1600 ASA.
Yeah.
And in the ektachrome, I would shoot tungsten, and I would push that to 320.
I didn't know they had the tungsten back then. Okay.
Dave. You got to get this book. Great stocking stuffer. Classic rock photographs from yesterday and today. Photos by Jim Samaria. And Mark Plotnick has put this together. The words, nice little stocking stuffer. I'm telling you, it's great for the rock and roll, classic rock and roll music lover. And again, a website and on information on where to get this book. Where is it? The website. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
My website?
Yeah.
JimSamariaPhoto.com.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
And coming up next, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll hear our news from here on 720 WGN.